Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The Browns beat the Jets in Jacksonville.
Okay, I can't do it. I wish I could. All right, Browns won. They beat the Jags in Jacksonville. How big was the win? Did the Browns save their season? A real question Anthony Lima asked me during a break. Tone, take it away.
What did I ask you?
Can you pay attention to things while we're doing this?
You want to start over?
No, I don't want to start over. Kind of do, but I don't. You asked me earlier today, not even on the air. I've been sitting on this for hours. Did the Browns save their season yesterday?
Oh, that is a good question.
That's why I asked. That's why I asked the question.
Him and now he's asking it.
Yeah, Kenny, I bristle at the notion of every game is life or death. I know in the NFL it does make the stakes what they are. It makes people love this football league that it feels like the Bengals are finished. The Ravens are finished. I mean, we just went over what's wild last week in the, or over the weekend in the NFL, and we're talking about Harbaugh being on the hot seat in Baltimore with some of the fan base. I guess that is what makes it fun. I did not think the Browns had to win. I did think they needed to get a much more composed and confident quarterback, because without that, like if it was just a game where he was atrocious but the defense carried the day, then I would still be panicking. I thought that was a huge game for the psyche of not only Deshaun Watson, the rest of the team needed to see that. They needed to see those third down throws, the one to Judy in the fourth quarter. They needed to see the scramble, keeping the play alive and doing the Houdini act, because that was more vintage Deshaun Watson. I think that was more important than winning or losing yesterday. But yeah, it's nice that they won. It's an AFC team on the road.
If they would have lost that game, Tone. Holy cow.
I know.
And if things would have went against them the way that if they would have lost that game, that would have just been, I mean, come on, Tone, that would have been, it's indefensible. You can't take anything good in that situation out of a loss. I wish I could. I can't. I just can't. I can't do it. And so if they would have lost that game, I'd have been crestfallen, which kind of goes with what you were just saying about, like, Ken, would you really be saying it this way had they lost that football game? I can look at some of the things that they did and say, man, this would be fantastic. This could be fantastic. This could be, but at the same time, I really can't go against it. I really can't go with it, just because I know if they would have lost that game, I don't know if I was going to be able to get anybody back on it. Like if they were to start out this season 0-2, how many people would have been really off the bandwagon? Because if they lose that game, then you're just looking back in the game and you're saying, all right, I mean, he threw for 186 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, 5.5 of a per. That stat line's not very good. That stat line's not a great stat line. It's technically not even better than Trevor Lawrence's stat line. I thought Trevor Lawrence was dreadful.
Yeah,
in a
I
lot
thought
of
it was
ways.
Garbage.
So it's hard to take away had they not won that game. It is hard to take away the positives that I have about the Browns, about their offense, as squeezing blood out of a stone it was, and out of the quarterback. The positives that I had on him, where it's like, hey, he made some plays. I thought he was protected. I thought he rolled within the protection better. He did not see ghosts. He did not freak out. He was not bailing out too soon. There was some times where I thought he played rather confidently. It didn't get to that level of where you're used to seeing it, but I didn't need to get it there week two. I need to get it there someday if we're going to go back to it, but it didn't get there, but I was okay with how the thing went. I was happy that they won. I was happy that he was able to persevere. I was happy that Jerry Jeudy helped him. We got to talk about Amari Cooper at 920, but I got to know from people, 216-474-92, do you feel that they saved their season? Because there were so many distractions, so much controversy, so much conversation over this last week. If they'd have lost that game, then you look at everything a little bit different. Now, if you win the game, which you did, it's, oh, Miles got a hurt foot, but he's going to work through it. instead of, man, Miles has a hurt foot. Now Denzel has a bad shoulder. Like, you look at things differently after you've won a game. So in a lot of ways, maybe they did. Maybe they did. I hate the must-win stuff. I roll my eyes. I always think you and I are better than that. But I think sometimes when it comes down to it, it just stares you right in the face. You got to do something.
Well, I obviously agree with when we're talking about just the overall psyche of a football team and quarterback. You know, they desperately needed that one. I think that's why you heard Stefanski in the post game in the locker room. Very, very energetic. He was, I mean, emotional in a good way. I mean, he was psyched, and for good reason. They were playing a desperate team, but they're on the road. You know, the Dallas Cowboy game is an NFC game. Yes, it's at home, but to now go on the road, your backs, you feel like they're against the wall, and that's why Stefanski sounded like this.
How about that team win? Yeah. The team. How about that offense, that defense, that special team win? Corey pins him back. Safety next play by 91. Yeah. Fellas, all we could do this week is get on an airplane and go 1-0. Right? That's all we could do. So we took care of business today. Guess what we got to do next week? Same thing. All right? That's the NFL, man. It comes at you every week. What we have to do in this room, we have to do this. We have to stay committed to getting better. It's September. We're not playing our best yet. But we have to stay committed to playing better as a team. But I'm proud of you guys for fighting. Yeah. I'm proud of the offense. I'm proud of the defense. I'm proud of special teams, fellas. Because at this point, we need everybody, and everybody showed up. And
Kenny,
I appreciate you guys.
We've heard a lot of those over the last few years. The two-time coach of the year. That's up there. That's like top five of the most energetic, most exciting.
Hey, whatever it takes.
That's as big as it gets for a guy like him. That's as excited and energetic as he's ever been. And like this early in the season, my God. But you can tell there is a transformation where he knows these guys. I remember the one time I tried to force it, like 2020, his first year, where it was after a win, and I brought it up. And you're like, nah, it's not very excited. He doesn't sound that way. He sounds like a robot. You can tell like he has a relationship with some of these guys where he didn't before. It's taken 4 years to get to know some of these guys, and I think that there is a care for each other there. And they know that they're in the foxhole. They know that this needs to get done, or if they don't get it done, then this is the business of the NFL, where a lot of guys, including himself, could always be going away. You never know how the season's going to end. You never know how this is going to go. So in week two, to get that win, it did feel pretty significant in that case. Jeff in University Heights, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning,
Jeff. I don't think it saved the season. What I do think is that may have given a portion of the fan base a little more confidence than what they had last week. I, for one, was not panicking last week. I couldn't believe some of the stuff I heard last week. You know, people almost wanting to go off the 480 bridge over the first game of the season. I mean, you don't get a read on teams until after the fourth game. I thought everybody knew that, but I guess they didn't. What I don't understand, and perhaps what you guys can explain to me, since I had a public school education and I went to a public college, so Ohio State, so I may not be the smartest guy
in
the world.
It's a fine school. They never sent me anything back.
This QBR, I mean, you know, Baker yesterday got sacked 5 times, and I think he threw 1 pick and 1 touchdown, and yet he's number 2 in QBR. After 2 weeks. So I that's the thing. I don't know how the QBR works. So maybe you can explain that to dummies like me and some of your other fans.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well,
Sorry.
I can tell you that this show focuses on what really matters, which is DVOA and EPA.
Crazy Joe DeVoe. Yeah.
Those are the numbers that matter. I have no idea how they come up with any of those numbers, but those are the numbers. This analytically bent sports talk radio show focuses on
216-474-0092. Mike and Collinwood, you're next
QBR
up on the Fan.
QBR and quarterback rating. Those are from the fossil days. Those are from the dinosaur ages.
That's not my area, Lima. But hey, we had a good win. It wasn't a must win, but they needed that for their confidence. Stefanski's post game that I just heard was spot on because that team bailed him out. That third down play call, Ken, was terrible.
It was the right call.
Why. No, it wasn't.
Here we go. It was the right call.
Here we go.
It was the right call.
Listen, Ken, let me tell you why. First,
you can tell me all you want, but I'm going to tell you right now it's the right call, Mike.
Counterpoint with Mike.
First of all, he's on the left hash. You run a naked bootleg to the left side of the field with a right-hand quarterback. You're not even giving him a chance on that play from the start. Okay?
I'm listening. Continue.
Second of all, you run a 30-yard corner route with Cedric Tillman. What are we doing here? That play had absolutely no chance of working. If you're going to run that play, run it to the wide side of the field, give him two or three more options. They don't even have no timeouts. You really can run the ball, punt, pin them back because your punter is fantastic. Play defense, get out of there with an easy win. That play could have been disastrous. Imagine if
it could have been disastrous if the quarterback would have just taken the sack like he was supposed to. It could have been even more. It could have not have been as disastrous as it turned out to be.
As soon as he rolled to the left hand side, he had pressure in his face. As soon as,
yeah,
that was just a bad play design.
But it wasn't from a safety. It was because of Josh Hines Allen. Josh Hines Allen did not get the type of push he was supposed to from Cedric Tillman on the play. Cedric Tillman was supposed to bust him up inside. He did not do it because he's obviously a bigger body guy than anything Cedric Tillman's ever going to deal with.
Cedric Tillman is 170 pounds soaking wet. He ain't blocking that dude. Come on, man.
Kenny? Then you're supposed to get in his way as best you can because it was the right call to make at that time.
Okay,
you could always just take the sack.
Okay,
or he could have ran it for a first down. It was the best chance.
Hold on.
What did you want to do? Let me ask you this. What did you want to do? Did you want to run a simple ISO or a dive with Deontay Foreman?
I'm going outside zone, just like he did on the play before when Deontay Foreman picked up 15 yards when they knew we was running the ball, but he grabbed the kid's face mask. That's the play I'm calling.
So we're going to do the exact same thing before? Because they were still gunning, because they were loaded up and gunning on a run because they thought we were going to run it. So we could hold on. We could have gotten 3 yards and might have still tried to kick a field goal, or we could have had the only chance, because you can't put the ball in the air, you can't throw the ball because you're going to stop the clock, or we could have had the only chance where we could use the quarterback's feet and use his brains to make the right decision. He simply freaked out and didn't make the right decision.
Correct. If you think the play call was correct, that's fine, but that play design was horrible. You don't run.
Okay, Mike, I know I'm not going to convince you. I know I'm not going to convince you. I understand, even though he completed a pass earlier to the left-hand side, which was a really nice ball to David Bell, but we don't want to discuss that.
Ken.
What?
You like that play call?
Yes! That's why I've had this whole argument with you for 3 minutes.
Boy, it would have surprised me if he would have gone the other way with it all of a sudden.
You got it, like, Mike Webb. Mike, I'm sorry. Hey, it's okay. Like, we're not yelling at each other. I just disagree. That's all.
Foreman was gashing him the whole game. I'm taking my chances.
That's fine. Hey, and you know what? They could have got the ball at the 30-yard line or the 35-yard line, and maybe it would have been 45, 50-something yards. They probably still would have punted it.
I run that play if they have like one or two timeouts and you really don't want them to get the ball back. You do not run that play when they have zero timeouts.
It was the only chance, though. Mike, thank you for the call.
The prettiest thing we've done all year.
Do it.
We get
Hit
to play
it.
The
Let's
music
Hit
because
it.
You
Hit
guys
it.
Are yelling at each
Hit
other.
It. I'm
well,
sorry.
There's nothing to break down now.
Well, no, but I'm not sitting there. I didn't disrespect Mike. I just thought it was the right call. Mike obviously knows what he's looking at. But what I'm pointing out is if they run that ball with Deontay Foreman, if they run that ball at Deontay Foreman, they get it probably to the 35-yard line, the clock's running. At that point, you have to take your chances on A, if you're going to kick a field goal, which if you miss it, they're going to get the ball at midfield with 50 seconds left, or B, whether or not you punt the ball, which would have good hang time and take even more time off the clock if you were going to do something like that. So you were going to run the ball there. So the only way you were going to pick up a first down is if their safety, or their corner in this case, was sucked in on the run. Or had Josh Hines Allen not made the type of play that Josh Hines Allen is capable of making? He's a good football player. And to Mike's point, yeah, Cedric Tillman cannot bust him up inside the way that you would want him to, but that was what was expected there. If you want to blame it on James Hudson, you can try to go ahead and do that. I'm not going to blame it on anybody. I'm going to say a good football player made a good football play. That's what he did. And our quarterback should have just ate it, because if you ate it there, you're going to do what you planned on doing anyway, which was punt the ball, because the odds of getting a first down in that case were slim to none. Slim to none.
I was very surprised.
So you could have tried a field goal, and you would have given the ball near midfield with 40 seconds left.
If you miss. Of course, nobody misses anymore. So, but I get what you're
putting
out
there. Well, I didn't want to put Dustin Hopkins in a bad situation. 216-474-0092. That's why I'm fine with the play call. And again, I'm the one who's fine with Deshaun Watson. I don't know what you're going to hear later on today I know Lyman and I seem to be pretty okay with his game that he had yesterday. It's a hell of a lot better than what he showed on Sunday against the Cowboys. I'll take that yesterday every day. Well, not every day, but coming off a game like that, yeah, I'll take that every time. 216-474-0092. Did the Browns save their season yesterday? If you think, I'm just saying, it's not that you don't know ball. Like, Mike in Collinwood knows football. I'm not saying that Mike in Collinwood don't know football. Quite the contrary. Definitely knows what he's talking about. But if you're saying it should have been a dive, then just come out and me, you don't trust Deshaun Watson with the football. Third down, trying to keep that clock running. Just come out and say you didn't trust Deshaun Watson in that situation. Do you trust Deshaun Watson in that situation? If you don't, then hell, go after Kevin Stefanski all you
want.
Well,
Ken, you did ask me point blank, like, what do I think Stefanski will do the next time they're in the exact same situation?
And I think he's going to boot it with him the very next time. I guarantee you.
I said I'd maybe prefer a handoff at that point.
Deshaun Watson is not going to make the same mistake twice. There ain't no way. Ain't no way that quarterback's going to make that mistake again. If Deshaun Watson was a third grader, he wouldn't make that mistake again. And I coach him. I know, buddy. They don't make that mistake again if you let him know.
Well, you got to let him know.
You got to let him know. You got to keep the main thing the main thing.
That is what you got to do.
So, did you want to just run the ball? You just want to run a dive there? Because I don't think you really trust Deshaun Watson with the football in his hands. And even I'm wishy-washy on some of that. I'm going, well, he's supposedly the franchise quarterback. You got to be able to trust a professional quarterback to make the right decision there. The right decision was to go down because Josh Hines Allen is a good football player.
I'm curious.
Maybe he did run it to the wrong side. We can discuss that all you want.
We're sitting there debating the play call. I'm surprised I'm not hearing more people say, hand the ball off and play for the field goal, in which the kickers are annihilating 50-yard field goals at an all-time record pace. Because that would have given you an 8-point lead, right? So would have forced Jacksonville to not only come down the field and score a touchdown, but also convert a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, but you can't go for the field goal in that spot.
Because if you miss, if you miss, you're giving them that field position.
And remember, the weather's not good. So, you know, when they play in that beautiful Brook Park indoor facility someday, then, yeah, maybe you can decide you want to kick it from the 35-yard line, which would be a 53-yard field goal. Go right on ahead and do it. But in bad weather in Jacksonville, we had Nathan Zagura on the pregame show. He was talking about the grass. Grass was in bad shape yesterday.
Well, I said you could see.
He said it was like a mix. He goes, it wasn't like one straight brand of grass. He said it was.
Not always greener, guys.
You had some Bermuda, you had some fescue.
You might have had some cuckoo over there at the 30-yard line.
I love some good cuckoo.
It was a little rough.
You could see ETN. And again, had you have had the Jim Nance, Tony Romo crew with the 50,000 cameras, you would have seen it was a really big play in the game that will be lost forever in the second half. Trevor Lawrence is scrambling on the far sideline, and ETN shifts, comes back, falls down, would have been wide open. The Browns defender on the play, I'll have to go back and look, was out of the play. Would have been an easy touchdown, but he fell, and it was just labeled, oh, it's an incompletion. They never showed it again.
Yeah.
And I went back and rewound it on the DVR, and I'm like, oh, my God, that would have been there. That would have been an easy touchdown pass and catch for a day where...
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Not a lot was easy for Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars, but the footing was an issue, absolutely.
216-474-0092. Let me get to Mario in Cleveland. Mario, you're next up on the fan.
What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Hi, Mario.
It's not every day that I agree with Ken, but I agree with Ken. I mean, the play calling.
Well, we don't have to agree with each other all the time. We got to like each other. We have to live with each other. We have to live in this society.
Yeah, definitely like you. Yeah. I mean, you're my man. I listen to you in the morning, you know. But sometimes I just don't agree. But
of course,
yeah, I do think the Browns saved their season by winning. Mm-hmm. That was the question, you know, that I heard. So it would have been the super panic button, and we would have lost the game. And I think they don't trust Deshaun Watson, clearly, you know, but why should you trust that guy? He ain't giving us nothing to trust into. So, I mean, it was a good win. Like I said, I do agree with what you said. I just think we got to go with more hope for next year. I heard the post game, Stefanski was all excited and almost like he won a playoff game. So that lets you know how that we lost that game.
Well, that lets us know. By the way, stay with me for a second here, Mario. That kind of shows you. I know they played it close to the vest all week. It kind of just shows you how loud the noise was around them. Does it not? Absolutely. Does it not? I mean, my God, to hear him that way after that, it was like they got a breath of air while they were being held in a tub for hours, and they finally were able to come up for air because it felt that way for them. Because I think that some of the stuff this last week was really, really rough for them, and they needed it as bad as they could get, and they got one.
Yeah, could you imagine waking up and the whole division was 0-2 and Pittsburgh is
1-0? Yep.
Like, that's a nightmare. But, hey, we won. We got it. I enjoy listening to you guys this morning, and go Browns.
Mario, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Like, he should be able to, you know, for fans, and I find it tough to trust the guy, too. You know, I am going to make a big deal about that third down play because I find it hard to trust him, too. I'm a turtle-up, conservative, offensive guy. Meaning, I bring the tight ends in. I don't load them to each way or the other. I bring the offense in if I don't trust a quarterback. And after last week, I find it very hard to trust him. And I think the fans obviously do not trust him. If we were going to ask, do you trust Deshaun Watson? I think a lot of fans would say, no, absolutely not. We do not trust Deshaun Watson. But Kevin Stefanski knows his job relies on it. And I think every coach, no matter what level you are, you got to trust your player that you're in, because if you can't trust him to run that play, if you really, truly can't trust him to run that play, then you can't have him out there. That's why, like, I used to be a believer when I was a kid. Hey, when a guy fumbles, you can't give him the ball back. No, put the ball back in his hands. You trusted him enough to run the ball 20 times. If he fumbles on the 21st time, doesn't mean you all of a sudden take the ball out of his hands. The 23rd time coming up, make sure he gets the ball. So I'm going to put, if I trust him, if I truly trust him, that means he's out there to begin with. If he's out there to begin with, then I'm going to trust him to make the right play. So if we find ourselves in that situation again, if I were Kevin Stefanski, yeah, run the bootleg again. Because there might be some people out there thinking, there's no way they're going to run that bootleg again. There's not a chance they're going to run that bootleg again. Or depending on how the defense is set up, if all of a sudden I see my corner and he's drifting off a little bit because he was supposed to be playing tight on that spot, and he did in the Jacksonville sense, but if he's bumped off a little bit, check out or run the ball with Deontay, and let's see if we can go ahead and punt this thing away and play some defense for 30 more seconds.
I think the one thing we've definitely seen from Stefanski since he's been in Cleveland, no matter who the quarterback is, he has trust in almost all those guys, whether it's Jacoby Brissett, whether it's P.J. Walker, whether it's DTR in a week where he had no idea he was going to be the starting quarterback, and then he gave him the same exact game plan in that terrible game.
They're NFL quarterbacks. Yeah, but it's not like it's...
But he doesn't...
Freshman coming in because the senior got hurt.
He's had so many of them now that I just kind of feel like that's who he's been. I don't think all the coaches are like that in the NFL.
Yeah, the quarterback is definitely just another player on Stefanski's team for him. It's not...
It doesn't necessarily matter who the guy is.
Yes.
Oh, I think it matters. Why doesn't it matter?
I'm saying that...
I think his play calling's the same no matter who's... behind the center.
The shots that he takes?
Yes. I mean,
the going for it on fourth down?
Week four last year with Dorian Thompson-Robinson when I lost my mind on that flea flicker.
That's why I referenced,
I'm going, what are we doing here? Because at that point, I would have taken out a lot of pages. That's exactly what it is. Yep, you guys are right. 216-474-0092. Are we worried about Amari Cooper right now here?
I am surprised how badly it's been for him the first 2 weeks and the lack of chemistry between him and Deshaun and the drops. I find it hard to believe this continues. He's too good. Like, he's been too steady. He's been a stabilizing force since he got traded for and came to the Browns. And so we're all looking at the same thing. We're all pinpointing the exact same thing. Yeah, he was in trade rumors. Yeah, he wanted a contract and he didn't get it. Yeah, he sent out a tweet or an Instagram. We all saw that. So we're all led to believe that he's not happy with the situation right now, and it's messing with him.
You didn't think that he's like, some people were bandying about like the purposeful thing or something like that.
That makes no sense. A contract.
So you're saying it might be a distraction for him, is all the stuff he's talking about.
Yeah. I think, you know, you're watching it, you're seeing it, by the way, with Ja'Marr Chase. in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Did you see him lose his composure yesterday?
Yeah, I did. Because I think the way, first off, beating Kansas City is one of those things that is almost unattainable for a lot of people. They've been able to do it before. But I think, how long has it been? Did they beat him last year at all? Because they got over him and got to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
but I think
they
other
beat
than
him
that,
again. They beat him again the next year, regular yeah. season, and then they lost in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I don't remember last year.
So it's been a little bit back and forth on that.
It was minus Joe Burrow, I believe.
Yeah, so it's been a little bit back and forth on those. I think with Amari, I need Amari to get better because I don't know when David Njoku is going to come back. Hopefully David Njoku comes back here in the next couple of weeks. I'm not just going to guarantee he's going to come back against the Giants. I'm not sure. It's a high ankle sprain.
They keep listing him week to week as opposed to putting him on the injured.
Yeah, and so maybe I can get him back against the Raiders coming up in a couple of weeks, but I don't know if I'm going to get him back against the Giants. So if I don't have David Njoku, or I know I don't have David Njoku at 100%, and not to say I don't know what Amari's situation is. I know he kind of hurt his foot a little bit over there in the Minnesota joint practice. Maybe it was a little bit worse than what we thought it was. I'm not sure. But I can tell. I haven't seen these type of. I remember the one drop he had was like a Thursday night against the Jets, or I think it was where it hit him right in the breadbasket, and then it bounced off his chest and on the ground, which would have been an easy first down a couple of years ago. And then they had to switch that back up, and they ended up scoring a touchdown later on in the game. So even then, he's been able to bounce back from. I can't explain what's going on here. Even the pass he caught on the third down, the one caller referenced on third and three, where he ended up taking a step back untouched, trying to gain more yards, and didn't get a first down. Even that, I think, is irking some of the fans. So I don't know. I think it's still a little bit early to start to lose our patience with Amari Cooper. He's been a fine wide receiver for the last couple of years for the Cleveland Browns. I think fans really, really like him. But I don't know how to explain it, Tone. I don't know what
it's
to
weird.
Make of the guy.
It's definitely weird, but I don't think you give up on him. And I don't think Deshaun gives up on him.
No, you can't.
And this is, it's just beneficial for all parties involved to get this thing righted. But this is the one aspect when we think about, hey, the Browns don't give in on this stuff, and the Browns aren't just going to hand over a contract, unnecessarily to someone in his age bracket, whatever. But this is the one analytically you're not going to have. You're not on the spreadsheet when you talk contracts. It's not going to say the emotional toll some of this stuff can play on can pay. Or can be in effect on certain guys. Like, that's the one thing that you can't really factor in because you don't know until he goes out there. I mean, it's shocking to all of us to see a guy with his pedigree struggling. Look like that.
He had two yesterday. I think he had one on last Sunday. I mean, that's three. I can't even remember three off the top of my head. I only remember that one because it sticks out so terribly. Before that, that's about it that I can remember of Amari Cooper. I'm sure there may be some other ones that I'm forgetting, but off the top of my head, those are the other ones I can remember, and the only ones I remember is because they're so quote-unquote frequent, because you have three of them, and then they're recent. And I just, it has to be better. It has to be, because I like, so far, if there's one thing, I've liked the Jerry Jeudy experience so far. I think he's been pretty damn good for the Browns. Do I want to make him a number one wide receiver? Do I want to take Amari Cooper off the field someday? I know that next year would be that time we talk about it. I'd rather wait until next year. I'm not removing Amari Cooper. I need Amari Cooper, but I need him to catch the ball. Jeremy in Fort Worth, Texas, listening on the Free Odyssey app. He's next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks, and love the show. Also,
thank you.
I was hating on Watson all week long. I was down in the dumps, but it was nice seeing him drive himself into the end zone. I loved it. I thought he needed to do that, and I felt good as a Browns fan. Well, I'm calling because I remember last year, Amari Cooper multiple times said that what makes Joe Flacco an elite quarterback is the way that he throws the ball, that he almost doesn't have to, you don't have to work to hang on to it.
I remember we played that clip. We did go over that. We didn't want to make a huge deal about it, but some receivers just do like the way the ball comes off from certain guys.
And I'm wondering if that's not the case here, that there's just something that needs to be tweaked in either the way that's not, either in his technique or something like that, or. Yeah, I don't want to think it's anything. I don't want to think he's underplaying. Of course not. But I just that just kept standing out to me that when he was saying that.
But let me tell you this, Jeremy. I think it stands out to a lot of people. I don't care if it were Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco, Charlie Fry now, and you're breaking up a little bit. Thank you very much for the call. I don't care if it's any one of those guys, any Browns quarterback that's ever lived. That ball on third down coming near side, it was too perfect to drop, and he dropped it. I don't care who threw the ball. I don't care where it looked like coming out of. He knows way better than anybody else. He can't drop that football. I mean, that was downright unbelievable, dropping that ball. And it cost us at least 4 points right there off the tippy top. Could have been another touchdown. Could have helped us put it away, especially on the ensuing. Wasn't that the play right before the ensuing? There was a field goal, then the ensuing kickoff, where if Dustin Hopkins wouldn't have been offsides, he'd have the ball back in the red zone all over again. And then we might have been laughing at the end of the fourth quarter by the time it was all done. Mitch, please.
All right, guys, an incident on Saturday night at the Cal-San Diego State game. The stunt cards that were used to write messages in big letters were being thrown onto the field by students at the game. So this led to multiple unsportsmanlike penalties being called on the Golden Bears, which made their head coach Justin Wilcox hop on the PA mic.
Cal fans, we love you. Stop throwing the cards on the field. That's 2 15-yard penalties. Please stop throwing the cards on the field.
Not Mitch, mad
I,
enough.
Mitch, I want to
correct
you. You
don't live in Palo Alto.
It wasn't the PA mic. He took the lav mic from
the referee. The ref.
Yeah.
It was still attached to the ref. He just grabbed it and went, Cal fans, and did his whole speech from there, holding 4 inches away from the refs.
He's not mad enough. He's not mad. 2 15-yard penalties. I mean, that should be. What was the score of the game at that point? Because
but you can't be. He can't sit there and scream. They won like 31-16. Okay. You can't scream at him. Or they're just going to throw more.
It was San Diego State.
They were at home, right?
Yes.
At Berkeley. You know how Berkeley is. You know how apparently, they are.
How is Berkeley there, Kenny?
Oh, they're very against the grain over there at Berkeley. We know people who went to Cal.
I'm surprised with their speech situation. There, he was even allowed to give a speech.
That was you, not me. Just want to point that out to every listener out there. Things aren't always what they seem. Or maybe the times are a-changing. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a new Lima.
Wow.
And maybe new Lima doesn't necessarily agree with the political opinions of old Lima.
Well, we have under just 50 that out days. Everybody. You have under 50 just days to get my vote. You better work your asses off.
It's the way it should be. They should earn your vote. You shouldn't just go right
shouldn't
down the
be
ticket.
Beholden.
Should have to earn it for you, from you. All right, well done, Mitch. They went 3-0, getting ready to go over to where the hell are they playing? Oh, Miss! Are they going to Mississippi State? Where are they going?
Florida State.
Florida. Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
They scored 12 points against Memphis.
Somebody tweeted at Ross Dellinger. Can I say this?
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted at Ross Dellinger that if Cal wins this game, this is a very ONS joke. If Cal wins at Florida State, they need to call the stadium Woke Campbell Stadium. Do we have this Dave Lapham here?
Yeah, this is from the
friend of the show.
Pass interference at the end of the Chiefs Bengals that extended the Chiefs.
Where the
drive.
Chiefs got gifted a win. Just say they got gifted another win.
They don't get any gifts. They earn.
Mahomes catches a shotgun snap, drops back, bouncing at the 23, scrambling left, stays behind the line, throws downfield, broken up by Dejon Anthony. There's a penalty flag on the Bengals rookie.
Wow, he's going to call pass interference on that?
Rashee Rice was the intended receiver.
Wow.
At the 35-yard line of Cincinnati.
I wonder if there was a shot to the head there by Dejon Anthony.
The officials will discuss it.
And if that's the case, I mean, oh, my gosh.
Audio courtesy of the Bengals.
He was early. It was a rookie. He was early. Total sucks. Bailout. No chance he was catching that football.
Sucks.
Jump ball, middle of the field, desperation heave. And the Chiefs get rewarded.
I know Dave hates me, but I love him. I love Dave Lapham. Can't stand me. I don't think he's a big fan of you either.
No?
No, I don't think he is. I don't think he likes you either. What do you want from me? If you're saying that the offense was...
Honestly, I don't want anything from you, really. So let's just... Guys, I appreciate it. It was great. It was great catching up. Oh. I can see why you has a good time up in Cleveland.
Okay. Dave, thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Lima's laughing so good. Can we be friends together?
Sure.
If we be friends together.
Now, Mitch, this is the charge. That first one was from when I was booking the show, and Dave immediately told me to lose his number. I did not lose his number. In fact, I gave it to AA, and when AA booked the show, we had Dave on again. He quickly realized this was the same show he did not like. So, Mitch, when we play the Bengals... in what, 4 weeks,
you're up.
3 weeks?
You're up, bitch.
4 weeks.
You're up. October 20th, the week of October 20th, baby. You are charged with the task. Don't. Hey, you can't do it too early, though. All right? I don't want him remembering.
Oh, no.
Just call it the morning show in Cleveland. See if he even notices. Okay? Don't say our names.
Say there's been a shakeup.
No, don't say there's been a shakeup.
Say the big man is out.
Don't say there's been a shakeup.
Just please.
No, I don't want to Trojan horse him.
Shake up city.
No, no, no. I'm not going to Trojan horse him. It's up to him to remember it. It's up to Dave Lapham to remember it. See, this is what's great about winning. You just get to revel in other people's misery. I don't. Yeah, you could have been winning that good. Don't care. We got
just
the win.
Tell,
don't care.
Tell him the big
he was
guy,
pretty decent.
The previous host, said something politically incorrect. He got fired. We've got a new team
do
in
that?
Town.
Why would you do that?
Have
why would you even? Why
on.
Would you even do that? Ja'Marr Chase clearly had a meltdown here. This is good stuff. Please.
To Chase. Good piece of tackling by McDuffie.
What a matchup right there. Chase is upset. McDuffie, a great defense there.
And look at Burrow come over and wrap him up. And a flag on Chase, who went back for a second round.
And a third and a fourth.
Audio courtesy of CBS Sports.
He wouldn't let it go.
They lost for some odd reason, though.
He's probably still talking about it. He was talking about it on the sideline for
20
minutes after the game.
Justin Tucker can't hit a good field goal anymore. They're 0-2. They want John Harbaugh's head on a platter. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, some way, somehow, the Steelers are 2-0. I wish I could. That part actually is a little bit frustrating. They always find a way.
Boy, 7 in heaven is going to be something else. And I had a weird
are
thought.
Are you
going
to put Pittsburgh there again?
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
The worst was there were people like, you know, Ken, he's the right one. I go, are you a Steelers fan? Because there's no way he's right. No.
I also have a very, very...
I know Ball. Me and the other Ball Knowers know that you weren't right.
I've heard it doesn't lie.
That's your friend from Collinwood. He wanted to go after you today.
Mike knows Ball, but Mike knows in the end you're not right about going to with the Pittsburgh Steelers going to the playoffs. Mike knows that.
I have a complicated thought. I'm watching that Bengals game yesterday against Patrick Mahomes.
Is that tomorrow? All right, write that down, Mitch. Don't forget it.